Let us pray. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Amen. Please be seated. So I'm struck in the readings today by the fact that two of the readings are about a vision. Perhaps one of you or more of you have had a vision, have experienced that, a communication from God that you would perhaps at loss to put words to, and perhaps is too private to even share, but you would put it in sort of that realm of God breaking in to communicate with you. Perhaps it was in prayer, perhaps it was as you're reading your Bible, perhaps it was just you were out doing your thing and God spoke to you. I'm very interested because we've just had our first vision committee meeting. You wonder if that word should be attached to a committee, but we are truly committed and devoted to discerning and clarifying the vision for this community. Is that even possible, you might ask? Could a church have a clarified vision? It's interesting that this next year is St. Cuthbert's 60th anniversary. And it seems to me that a worthy sort of theme, I'm not dictating this, but I'm just thinking about it. So committee, I'm not trying to jump the agenda here. But I thought we've talked about 2020 vision, right? At age 60, how many 60-year-olds would long for 2020 vision, right? That means a little restoration for most of us. And so that's part of the process, I would guess, that our vision would be restored and renewed and corrected. And we've talked about that in our first meeting, and the members of the committee will be announced in the announcement time. Visions come from without. I should put it another way. Visions come from outside of us. They aren't generated sort of, you know, through our own thoughts. There's continuity, though, with the present. But sometimes there is a radical discontinuity that is disruptive. And so part of the vision that I see in both the letter to the Acts of the Apostles from Luke's perspective and the revelation of Jesus Christ according to John is this disruption of sort of the normal state of things, sort of more pronounced in the Acts of the Apostles. And so how I'm going to sort of frame this is that you on this side, all right, are the things that are coming, the new things of God. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So you're this inbreaking kingdom of God, the reign of Christ in the world. And you are the outgoing things, right? And the choir, well, we'll just, okay? So you're the things that are passing away, right? So the incoming are coming, sort of, if we could say linear, are coming in this way. And the things that are passing away and are temporal are going out that way, right? And are going toward Northdale Secondary School. And I need my traveling mic here just for a second, all right? And if we can imagine for a moment, this is the middle part. Would this be calm and peaceful in here? No. Sometimes it would be chaotic, where the new is inbreaking on the old, and some of you, we don't want to let go of. And I'm not saying that you are the old, but you are representing those things that are passing away, that are temporal, right? And you are representing the things that are new, perhaps never before seen, that are of God. And then we're going to ask, well, how do we know the difference, right? And in the middle is this scrum, is this sort of, you know, turbulence sometimes, confusing often, but rich and dynamic, right? And so that's this in-between time where we inhabit as church. It's the now, but it's the not yet. We're new, but we haven't seen it come in its fullness. And so the church, I would suggest, is like this middle aisle. We're buffeted sometimes, we're enthused sometimes, we're confused sometimes, and we just want to be over with it because it's taxing and it's sometimes exhausting because there's so many changes, right? There's so many changes. we just get tired of it and we just want to go home. And then we realize that we've forgotten our password to get in our house. You know, it's like, too many changes. Okay, so what do the scriptures say to us that might help us? I'm going to start with the revelation. And remember, it's always the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what the revelation is about. That's what John on the island of Patmos, he's one of our elders who speaks to us through this this revelation. And so God is speaking to and through John, the elder John. And he sees and he hears. It's a full body experience, which visions can be. And listen for the things that are passing away. So things you can identify with, right? We can say, so long. And then listen for the things that are incoming, that are new. And that would represent this side of the church. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Guess what? The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And so even those foundational experiences that we have are temporal. And so we need to temper our pursuits with that knowledge. And the sea was no more. The sea was no more. We had a visitor from Montreal. She's our goddaughter. She's 28 years old. And she came and spent 5 days with us. She's transferring out here for work. And she said, I'd love to see the ocean. So I said, well, here's a bike. Ride down to Boundary Bay, and there it is. Well, when she got down there, we hadn't checked the tide charts. And so there was not a drip of water in Boundary Bay. And she came back, and we said, how was your day? She said, it was fine, but where's the water? How does that work? She said, one day the sea will be no more. It'll be more disorienting than even that. Okay? And then listen for the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Did you think your future was going to be in a city? It appears it will be. That this new Jerusalem is coming from heaven, and will be part of this establishment of a new earth. I was just at, Joanna and I were just at the wedding of our goddaughter Bronwyn, and she's 19, the groom's 21. So sweet. We were down in Texas, and they do things in Texas that are, well, they do it right. Y'all with me on that? All right. And the thing that was so remarkable about this image, about the New Jerusalem as a bride adorned for her husband. And again, this imagery is fluid because the bride is also spoken of as the church and the husband as Jesus, right? So it's just rich imagery. But the thing that I want to relate, and I have to come out here. Can I have this mic again? Thanks. Brian was on this side. Bronwyn was on this side. They were holding hands. They were saying their vows. You can picture that, right? And the pastor was here. And as they were progressing in this, coming up to the pronouncement of I declare you, I pronounce you husband and wife, Bronwyn's like this. And then he went into a long prayer and she went like this. She was so excited. And I would love to be like that as the church, right? So excited for this revelation, for this new thing to break out in its fullness. Okay, so that's what's coming. The loud voice that John heard, and he's approximating what's happening here. It's completely overwhelming. He says, see, the home of God is among mortals. And that's the point, that God has come among us in the person of Jesus Christ, and that our future is with God. That is eternal life, as I understand it. It transcends the physical life, the TikTok life, time, it transcends that. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Friends, that's going. The tears are going. Do I hear an amen? One day, death will be no more. What will that be like? Wow. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. See ya. Do we even think about what that might be like? What a beautiful thought and consideration and meditation. That's why these readings come in Easter time, because God has done something brand new in and through Jesus. If we can think of Good Friday, the day that Jesus died on the cross, as a beginning of a revolution, that all things have been made new through the life, the death, the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. It's the day that death died. The Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. And so in the middle is this transit point, right? And that the church, we are called through baptism, through repentance, to be in Christ. To be in Christ is to be in this center place of engaging the new and releasing the old. That's how I see it, all right? But listen to some of the challenges that come in living in that place. So the Acts of the Apostles were written. The church is new. It's still called the Way. The church is Jewish. Jesus was a Jew. He wasn't converted to Christianity. Jesus transformed Judaism, and yet this way was just opening up. And so the Gentiles were anyone that wasn't a Jew, right? And so they were outsiders to the promises of God, as understood by the Jews. And then this brand new thing happens. This absolutely brand new thing. Think of the turmoil that came through this revelation of this new work of God, right, in an established doctrinal sort of area of life and worship. Peter had a vision. He's being criticized by the Jewish believers that he was even in the house of a Gentile, that he ate with them. They're not questioning whether he ate the right things, but food is an issue, and ritual purity is a very important issue. There were some in the day, those early days, that believed that you needed to become a Jew before you became a Christian or a follower of Jesus. And Peter, through this revelation, is saying, no, there has been something new is happening. And it came by revelation. It wasn't just, oh, I think this happened. Doctrinal change needs to be discerned. It's not just one person. This is unusual. And yet, here is Peter. He's experiencing this, and like John shares the vision. It happened three times. There were unclean animals in this sheet, and he heard the command, kill and eat. That would be anathema to a Jew. You would never eat something unclean. You wouldn't even be in the vicinity of it. And so that's why the Jews were giving him a hard time, that it was heard that he was in the house of a Gentile. We're going to hear more about that as he talks about the vision. So he said, never, Lord, never has anything profane or unclean touched my lips. He was pure in terms of what was known as righteous. So he would have been quite comfortable in this place until this revelation. And then it starts to shift. It becomes something that he needs to release. God says, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. And so is this about purity law? Is this about dietary law? Well, it's coming. Get up, Peter, kill and eat. But he replied, no, I won't do that. Don't call profane what I have made clean, Peter. This happened three times. At that very moment, three men. So it's not about food, it's about people. And that's what I think this whole new commandment, why is God giving us a new commandment in Jesus? Why is that new? Well, it's about people, and Jesus has modeled love that is revolutionary, that is self-sacrificing, that is bold, that is willing to live in this middle part, full of turbulence and not everything's clear. And yet there's life, and there's confirmation that this is in fact the place to stay. And we can release some of those things that need to be released. And sometimes releasing the old is difficult. I'll give an example from my own life. When I was ordained deacon, 1991, the priest where I did my student year gave me 20 pairs of black socks. It was such a practical gift as a deacon and priest. He gave me 20 pairs of black socks. And I'm still wearing
them? Well, not all of them. How do you cycle your old socks out? Is there a rotation that you keep? Do you ever hold on to one sock because it's still good, but the other sock is not good? It's like a dilemma. Oh, what do I do? Right? So the old, right? So those socks are on that side, right? I need to let go of these socks. And I should probably send a thank you to Peter who gave me the 20 pair. But that's sort of in a very light way some of the struggles. If I struggle over releasing a sock, well then, friends, the struggles are going to be more profound, especially when we're in a community, right? I believe. That's my experience anyway. But listen to how God put superstructure around this huge shift. He gave an audible and visual vision. He gave it three times. He then confirmed it with people knocking on the door. Guess what? Unclean people, Gentiles. And they said to Peter, come with us. And so we realize that it's not about food. It's about people. They were sent to him from Caesarea, and they arrived there. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. That's a huge thing. Not to make a judgment between them and us. He didn't fully understand what was happening, and yet he was moving with it. He arrived at the house, and the Spirit told me to go with them. Usually we check this out in our community. Here, Peter, the apostle, is acting in a way on his own, but just listen. He went with six other men. Six plus Peter equals how many? Seven. How many came to the house from Caesarea? Three. You're listening. I like that. It's interesting that in the Jewish worship, they needed 10 men to worship. Do you think that's at play here? I don't know. But 10 were there to witness this new thing, right? The thing about this vision is that it's a double vision. And I don't mean that to be funny. It's a double vision because he's also giving a vision at the same time to the unclean Gentile, saying, you should send to Joppa and ask for Peter. He'll give you a message by which you and your entire household would be saved. And this is one of the scriptures that I go to when people say, why do you baptize babies? They can't confess their sins. They can't discern the body. They can't make a conscious decision for Jesus. And I said, you're quite right. We don't expect that of them. But whenever a household comes to faith, why wouldn't we include the little ones? Unless you don't think they were here. But his entire household, right? That Peter had a message for the entire household to be saved. And I believe that that's how God works by his grace and goodness. So Peter's saying, okay, I'm working through this, because he's answering the people that are criticizing him, and Peter is right in the middle of this turbulence. He said, as I was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on them. So there was some outward and visible sign of this act of the Holy Spirit. There aren't always, but there was now, because Peter recognized it. And it happened to them just as it had happened to us. And I believe that even in a time of change, there is continuity. There is some continuity. Peter is highlighting it here. What happened to them also happened to us. Or what happened to us in the beginning also happened to them. And I remembered the word of God. There's another point of continuity. How he said, John will baptize with water, but I will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Didn't fully understand what was happening, but he's able to call upon the word of God and the experience. It fits into a context. There is some continuity, and yet there's this brand new thing happening. If God gave them the same gift that he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to hinder God? And so my prayer is for us as St. Cuthbert that we would be open and first of all committed to living in this place of the new breaking in and the old having had its day. Perhaps needs to be held in a more open hand. I'm not sure. And I'm not naming anything except my socks. They're the only thing I've identified, right? And if anyone wants the last couple pair, I'd be happy to. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't share those with anyone. And what's the point? Well, this is the point. they praise God, these people who were at first criticizing Peter, saying, God has given to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. And that's the point. What things lead to life? And I believe that is the whole idea about vision renewal. That we would empty our hands of the things that no longer are life-giving so that we could receive with our open hands those things that are life-giving. And sometimes those things have a shelf life. Do you agree? Just like socks. They were life-giving at a time, but they are no longer. This morning, Pat and Merv Thorne were in church. 60 years married last Wednesday. They gathered family on Saturday. And I was just reflecting on my goddaughter's wedding just on Friday. And, you know, things which had grown old. And I would say a 60-year-old marriage is a, would you call it a mature marriage? I would. I would even call it old, with full respect, obviously. I honor our elders. And but knowing that they also have refreshment, they couldn't have gotten to that place if it hadn't been refreshed and refreshed again and refreshed again. And so I believe that in saying a new commandment I give to you, Jesus is saying, it's part of this inbreaking newness, that Jesus in our midst empowers love, models love, expresses love in a way that was not possible before through the Holy Spirit. Some of us get tired even thinking about this, and yet I believe that God thought about that as well. And so the ending, and I don't want to be cute here in any way, but I believe it to be true in the revelation of Jesus Christ according to John. He says, to the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. So as we make our way as St. Cuthbert, and as you discern in your own life what needs to go, what you need to respond to in terms of a new life, where those areas of new life are in your relationship perhaps, in your family, something brand new perhaps that is a bit disorienting, how do we respond to that? At St. Cuthbert we have small groups. Small groups are a great way to share with others what's happening in our lives, to pray for one another, to study. There's prayer today once you've received communion, or if you come forward for a prayer of blessing, there's a prayer station. And if you'd like to just pursue something that you feel God's speaking to you about, there's people there who would pray with you and for you. But let's remember there's refreshment. There's an inbreaking work of God, and there are some things that are some things will be renewed, but some things also need to be released. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. That is an incredible reality and promise. The old has gone, the new is here. When God says, I am making all things new, it's present continuous, then, and I believe the same is true today.